In this episode of The Source, we're going to be doing a tutorial on VirtualBox, the virtual machine emulation software which was recently purchased by Sun Microsystems. From my car in Cincinnati, Ohio, I'm Aaron Newcomb, and you're watching The Source. Dave Yates, eat your heart out. This episode of The Source is not brought to you by...
What's this stuff?
It's a new operating system. It's supposed to be good for it.
Did you try it?
I'm not gonna try it. You try it.
I'm not gonna try it.
I know. Let's give it to Mikey.
Yeah!
He won't try it. He hates everything.
When you give Ubuntu to a friend, don't tell them it's one of those free Linux-based operating systems you've been trying to get them to run. You're the only one who has to know.
Now, what do we do first?
In the very first episode of The Source, we reviewed a program called QEMU, which is a virtualization program that allows you to run other operating systems on your Linux desktop or server. And that was very well received. A lot of people have used it. We've gotten a lot of feedback about that. Some of the feedback we got suggested that we should review VirtualBox. VirtualBox is something that's come out since we did that first episode, and it's very similar to other packages on the market. Although it competes with the VMware and Parallels and other offerings, the difference with VirtualBox is VirtualBox offers the source code up. There is an open source edition that you can use, and I've been running it on my desktop and my laptop for over a year now to test out live CDs, run small testing implementations of Windows to test code or whatever. So I wanted to take a little bit and do a review of VirtualBox. Now, VirtualBox can be found at virtualbox.org, and when you go there, you click on the downloads link, you'll notice that there's actually two versions of VirtualBox out there. Like I mentioned, there's an open source edition, or OSE. And there's also the VirtualBox Personal Use and Evaluation License Edition, and that is not an open source edition. So if you are very adamant about running only open code on your machine, you definitely want to do the open source edition and perhaps compile that yourself. Or like me, I'm running Ubuntu on my laptop, so you can just go out to the repositories and you'll find the open source editions available there. And you can get that from the repositories as well as the kernel module. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So you have to make that decision first. If you do want to compile it yourself, I will throw out a warning that compiling requires a lot of dependencies. If you go and look at the source, when you go to download the source code, they'll list the dependencies that are required. And I'll just warn you, if you're not an advanced Linux user, probably not for you. In most cases, I've tried to compile it myself a couple times and always run into a dependency problem where there was something I couldn't get or couldn't figure out where to get. So, like I said, unless you're an advanced user, I wouldn't recommend compiling. What I would do instead is on the download page, you'll find a list of the most recent binaries, if that's the way you're going to go. That's the way I'm going to go today. is just downloading the binaries, which fall under the personal use and evaluation license. Now also with the binaries, there are a few dependencies as well. One of them is Qt, and the current version of VirtualBox that I'm going to be demoing today is 1.5.4. And that version requires Qt 3.3.5 or higher. It also requires SDL. So for the display library, that's SDL 1.2.7 currently or higher. The other thing that you're going to need to have to get this working, there is a kernel module that gets built when you install VirtualBox. So you're going to need the kernel headers. Now, if you're running Ubuntu, the kernel header should already be there. But some of the other distributions like Fedora and SUSE, you might need to actually download the kernel headers package for your particular operating system. So make sure you have that installed before you start, or you'll have to restart the installation, and that's no fun. So what we can do now is just, I'm going to go ahead and download this now. So on the download site, I'm going to go down here and click on the, I happen to be running Gutsy Gibbon. So I'm going to click on the i386 version of VirtualBox 1.5.4. And we're going to wait for that to download and be right back. All right, so the package is downloaded. This particular package is about 16 meg, so it took a few minutes. Sitting here in a lovely hotel suite, not the best internet service, but we did get it downloaded. I'm going to go ahead and install this now. Typically, when you go to install it, especially in Ubuntu, like I'm using, you'll get a little suggested application to open the dpackage installer application when you go to download it. But for my purposes here doing the video, I just went ahead and saved it as a file in my home directory, and now I'm going to install it with dpackage, the dpackage utility. So to do that, from the command line, I'm going to type sudo space dpackage, that's dpkg space minus I, and then the name of the install package, the installation package, which in this case is, or should be, in most cases, VirtualBox, you know, and then the version number, blah, 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 .dev. So that's the file that you just downloaded from the VirtualBox website. So I'm going to go ahead and install that now. Of course, we have to put in our administrator password, and it's going to go ahead and install VirtualBox. Now, I actually encountered a problem, and if you run into this as well, I'll tell you how to fix it. There's actually a couple of dependencies that I didn't have. One is called libxalan110. The other one is libxerces, xerces27. And so I got these warnings in dpackage. An easy way to fix this, in case you ever run into this, on a Debian-based system that uses apt-get, you can actually just fire up Synaptic Package Manager. So let's do that now. Let's go into Synaptic here, and it should come up with a warning when you start it up. It says that you have broken packages on your system. And the way to fix that is just go into Edit in Synaptic and hit Fix Broken Packages. And down at the bottom, you'll see a message that says successfully fixed dependency problems. And then you can just hit apply, and it'll download and install the dependencies. It's doing that now. We should be in business here in just a second. It's going to download it, and it's installing and configuring. And now it's going into, it'll actually, at that point for me, it'll actually relaunch the VirtualBox installation where it left off. So now I've got a screen up, and we're going to go ahead and configure VirtualBox. So the first thing that it has, the first thing that VirtualBox will try to do is it'll create a group called VBox users. So one thing that's very important with all virtualization packages is security. And so VirtualBox is very good about creating different users than the default user, or certainly than the root user, so that you can manage your security effectively. So it's going to create this group called VBox users. That's what it's going to do first. And it's important, and we'll go through these steps as well, to make sure that you can make sure that you add your user to the VBox users group, so that when you go to launch a new a new operating system or whatever you want to test, you know, that'll come up and work for you effectively. So now we're done. The VirtualBox is installed. It should be ready to go. So let's just go in here and start it up. If you go into Applications, again, this is in Ubuntu, maybe different in your operating system. For Ubuntu, it's under Applications and System Tools, and you can see Innotek VirtualBox should be listed there. We'll go ahead and start that, and it does give you a license warning the first time that it comes up saying that you are using that public use and evaluation license, and just scroll down and agree to that. It'll also come up with a registration form, and that you can fill that out with your name and your email. You could also, luckily they do put in a an option in there saying, you know, don't use this information to contact me. So I'll just fill this out real quick. Name and email. Confirm that. It'll go off and register with the VirtualBox servers. And then it will come back to the VirtualBox GUI. So let's talk about that now. One of the things, like I mentioned, that you want to do is add your current user to the VBox users group. So let's do that first. So let's go into Systems, Administration, and usually all the way down the very bottom you'll see a setting that says Users and Groups. I should mention also that I'm using GNOME, typical desktop, so if you're using something different, your mileage may vary. So when that comes up, you want to click on Manage Groups, and if you scroll down in that list, probably at the very bottom there, you'll see VBox users down on the very bottom. And if you go into Properties, you can see the group name, the group ID, and the group members. So for me, VirtualBox actually added me into, it lists me and Root as possible group members to add, and I'm going to click on me. I'm not going to click on Root. I don't suggest that. But click on yourself and go ahead and hit OK, and now you've added yourself to the VBox users group, so that when you go in and you work in VirtualBox, otherwise what would happen is it would come up and tell you that there was a problem, and you weren't actually able to access the resources necessary to run VirtualBox. But now that we've done that, we should be OK. Now once you've done that, you will need to log off and log back in for that change to take effect. So let's go ahead and do that now. So what I'm going to do now is I actually have a live CD loaded in my laptop, and it's actually Dynabolic, so we're going to bring up Dynabolic, which is a great live CD for media streaming and audio, working with audio and video. Lots of cool applications loaded on that live CD. So we're going to do something real simple. We're just going to bring up that live CD in a virtual session. So the first thing we want to do is we want to click on New, and that will bring up the new virtual machine wizard. And we can just click through this really quick, give it a name, call it Dynabolic. And we'll say that it is for the OS type, Linux 2.6, I believe. Next. Then you come up to the memory, and this is where you can assign base memory to the system. I'm going to leave this right now, the default for me is 256 meg. I'm going to leave that alone. You can go all the way up to 2 gig, though, if you desire, but we're just going to leave that 256 meg. We don't need a lot of memory. It'll also give you, the next session is your virtual hard disk, where you can create your own virtual hard disk, and we'll be doing this a little bit later when we run Windows. But we don't need to do a hard disk, so we're just going to hit next. We're going to say no hard disk and just hit next. And it'll give you a little warning here that says that you didn't attach a hard disk. Yeah, that's fine, we know. And that's it. It gives you a little summary screen. You hit finish and you are ready to go. Now one thing before you start this, you're going to use this as your kind of like your live CD test bed here. One thing you do need to do is you need to tell it that the system does have a CD-ROM attached, So if you go over to the right-hand side of the screen and click on the CD/DVD-ROM text that's in blue, it'll bring up a little setting dialog for the CD. And what you can do is you can just click on Mount CD-DVD Drive, and if you have multiple CD drives in your system or DVD drives, it will list them there. And I'm just going to choose mine and hit OK. Now we got that done, and it's listed there on the right-hand side. So I think with that, we're all set. I'll just go up here, and I've got my Dynabolic session highlighted, and click Start. Now you notice when this comes up, it basically, you see the Dynabolic screen. I'll go ahead and boot this up. Probably hear the CD spinning here. Let's go ahead and it's going to load this up. We'll let it do its thing and come back in just a minute to see it working. One more thing I should mention is that the system has a way to automatically capture keyboard and mouse functions. So this is the first time that I launched this. It gives me a little information dialog saying, telling you how to enable it to capture and uncapture that those keyboard clicks, mouse clicks, and things like that if you need to. Alright, so as you can see here, just taking a snapshot of my desktop, taking a look at my desktop, you can see that Dynabolic is up and running indeed. Took about 2 minutes to bring this up. Really not that long at all. Not much more than if I would have run it natively. And it's up, it's working. I can click around, do some different things within the desktop here. Not much I need to do. Now, when you're ready to shut down your virtual machine, a couple of options you have, really. You can go to the machine menu item, and you can reset, pause, or shut down your virtual host. In this case, I really don't, this is a live CD, so I'm not going to hurt anything. I'm just going to go ahead and close it. And it'll actually give you a warning, do you want to save the machine state? Do you want to send the shutdown signal so that the virtual machine responds like it would if it was on real hardware? Or do you just want to power off the machine? In my case, I just want to power it off. So I'm going to say OK to that. And then that brings us back to our desktop. Now let's go ahead and do a run a Windows session. So I actually have a Windows virtual disk image already created so that we can speed up this process. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hit new again, and really quickly I'm going to walk through all the same steps we did before. Give it a name, call it Windows, and OS type Windows XP. Base memory size, I'm actually going to give this a little bit more memory than what it's recommending for the default. We'll give it 512 megabytes. RAM. And for the hard disk right now, I'm going to say no hard disk. We'll come back to that though. And we're done. So now we've got our Windows Virtual Machine set up. I'm going to go ahead and share the CD again. And then I'm just going to click on hard disks. And that's going to bring up a box here. We're just going to click on Primary Master. And I'm going to browse for my click the little browse button. That'll open the Virtual Disk Manager screen. I'm going to click on Add. And I'm just going to browse for my VDI file, the virtual disk image file that I have here, and select that. And now we have the hard disk image that I, like I said, I created earlier. And now that we have that, I'm just going to go ahead and start it up. We'll come back in just a minute, and we'll see that the we'll see if the Windows how well Windows works on my Ubuntu laptop. Okay, so as you can see, Windows is up and running. I can click around in here, launch applications, whatever. In this case, I'm just going to go ahead. There's nothing I really need to do with it. Just wanted to show you that it does work. Now, before we go any further, let me make mention of a few things about VirtualBox that you need to know. One is that their VirtualBox makes available what they call VirtualBox Guest Editions, and these are available for both Windows and Linux. And what these are basically drivers for the various types of hardware that VirtualBox is presenting to the operating system. VirtualBox has its own set of virtualized hardware that it's presenting up in terms of CPU and memory, what type of memory, the types of interfaces, and the operating system, especially Windows, needs to have the drivers so that it can make use of those. So the first thing you'll probably want to do, especially when running a Windows guest operating system, is install the VirtualBox guest editions. And there's instructions in the user manual on how to do that. The other thing I want to make mention of is that although VirtualBox can address a local physical hard drive, it doesn't have to use an image file, it can actually use your own hard drive, and you may have a Windows partition on your hard drive, you probably don't want to try to run that partition itself in VirtualBox. And the reason is the same with QEMU. We mentioned this when we were doing the QEMU tutorial, is that what will happen is when VirtualBox actually starts up the operating system on that partition, the operating system will all of a sudden see all this new hardware that it didn't have before. And it will try to load drivers and change motherboard types and bus types and all sorts of crazy things. So, you know, especially with Windows, you know, since it's not quite as advanced as some of the other operating systems that are around out there, like Linux and others, you probably don't want to do that with VirtualBox. So leave your physical partitions alone. Stick to the image files. It's much safer. Okay, while we've got Windows up here, I wanted to wrap up by showing you one of the coolest things about VirtualBox, and this is really a feature that sets VirtualBox apart from its competitors out there in the field, and that is it can operate in seamless mode. This is especially useful. Sometimes it's not always nice to have to switch back and forth between a full Windows desktop window and your own native desktop. So what you can do is if you've got Windows running, you can go up to the machine menu and click on seamless mode. You can also just hit Control L, usually it's the right control, Control L, and this will put it in seamless mode. Now, as you can see, what this does is it takes everything off the screen except for the Windows taskbar, and now the Windows taskbar is actually running on the bottom of my screen here, and you can actually launch applications from there just by clicking on Start and selecting an application like Notepad or something like that, and it'll actually launch that in its own separate window right on my native Ubuntu desktop. Very, very cool stuff. So that makes it real easy. If you just have a couple of applications you need to access now and then, and like I said, also if you don't want to have a full window with a full desktop and everything running that you have to switch back and forth, you can just run that in seamless mode and take advantage of that. So there are a lot of other advanced topics that we could go into. For example, how to share files back and forth between your native OS and your guest OS, different methods for accessing the network, things like that. You know, we could kind of get down and dirty with that stuff, but that stuff's pretty well documented both in the user manual and online. Just search for it in Google if you're having any troubles with that. So with that, that is VirtualBox. Highly recommended. Use it almost daily myself. So go out there and check it out. Well, that'll do it for today's show. Next time on The Source, we're going to be talking about XVM Ops Center, which is a product from Sun, and it actually is software that manages patches and a whole host of other things on your servers, not only for Sun Solaris, but also for Linux as well. So we'll be talking about that. And then at some point in the future, we're going to be doing a show on XVM Server itself, which is the virtualization piece that's based off of Xen and is more similar to VMware, you know, VMware running in a corporate environment. So we'll be talking about that on a future show. Until then, I'm Aaron Newcomb. Keep watching The Source.
Let's do it one more time, okay?
Why then?
Because we need to have a couple good takes from a couple different angles to make it a good commercial.
Why?
Just trust me for now, okay? I'll explain it when you're older. Okay, hold it the other way.
I don't need to be older. I'll try anything.
Oh, we gotta start over. Go. It's upside down. Okay, one more time and you're done.
Look at that.
And then you're surprised. And then you say, no, you don't say that. Now, you're looking at James. Surprised. You're almost done, guys.
Some new cereal. Supposed to be good for.
Okay, start over. It's not a cereal.
I love
you. Okay, this is the last take. Last time, let's get it. Ready?
Oh.
Okay, last time.
Yeah, he hates everything. No!
You won't try it. He hates everything. Okay. Okay, this is the last time. Really concentrate.
He won't eat it. He ate everything. He won't eat it.
What's it doing?
It's booty.
Oh, bad. Press any buttons.
Okay. I'm told to press that button.
Mm-hmm.
How about that button?
Are you breaking the law?
Nope.
Hey, James. You're breaking the law. Breaking the law.
Breaking the law.
No, don't press those buttons. Did you do something?
Look at this.
Uh-oh.
Look at this. That's the Wii. Now, what we do first? What we do first, Daddy? No. Press this button.
Can you give the laptop a nice smile? Can you give me a nice smile, James?
Yeah.